12:35 here on the ticket. I'm Rich Phillips in for Matt McLaren. Hanging out here on the Invasion with Donovan Lewis. I'll be back one more time this summer, I know of. And, of course, you can hear me on Saturdays beginning into
Race
August.
Week?
No, it'll be SMU football.
We're not
football.
Bringing that back?
No, we're not. SMU football.
Oh, okay.
For those who don't know.
How many years for you in SMU?
This will be year number 25.
That's great, man.
A quarter of a century of calling SMU football. I can't believe it. But I got nothing.
Touchdown SMU.
I got nothing on Donnie Dew here. Because tomorrow officially.
Tomorrow.
That you have worked 32 years for the Cumulus Susquehanna False Craft Nation.
32 years. July 19th, 1993.
So you were.
First day.
21
about still. To turn 22, yeah.
And what did you first do when you came to work? It was the Susquehanna False Craft Nation at
yes.
that time, right?
Yes.
Was it False Craft too, or just Susquehanna? Were they selling dishes yet?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a...
that was the old ownership of the station, for those that don't know.
I was a board operator.
What shift?
Weekends, just part-time, whenever they needed me. Started
you didn't have to start overnight?
No, it was... I moved up to overnights like 3 months in, 3 or 4 months in.
Like
so when I first started, it was just Saturday, Sunday, whenever they needed me. I would train during the day with this girl named Andrea, who was working the Kevin McCarthy show,
okay.
9 to noon. I would train with her, and then I would have a, you know, noon to 4 or noon to 5 shift on a Saturday or Sunday or something like that. And then... That's about when the ticket was about to come on board because they started in 94 January.
Yep.
So they started, you know, interviewing people and hiring different people, and people started leaving from KLIF to work over there. So
and,
that's
and
when
the ticket was not owned by the same company
right,
at that time.
Right.
They were owned by SFX or somebody.
So that's when people
actually no, that was Cardinal Communications who first
the
owned
very
them.
First owners.
Yeah.
Okay, so people would leave, and that was your opportunity to move up. So
did
I guess,
you interview at the ticket?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay,
did not.
I interviewed to try to be one of the original ticket employees.
Oh, did you really?
With Hollywood Mike Reiner, I interviewed, who I had met a few times before, but. But when I showed up for the interview, he said, "Oh, it's you." That's how it started. So
and then
he hadn't put the name with the face until then, and I did not get hired.
Didn't get the job. So. No, there was another outlet that came out, and let's see if you remember this, Prime Sports.
Sure.
I interviewed over there.
990? Were they on there? 1190? They were on one of those.
Something. And I felt like it was another one that was, I don't know. But I did interview for... a position at Prime Sports and got the job, but stayed where I was at KLIO.
Was that at a local station or was that the network
level? I think it was the network level.
Did you interview with Alan Stone over there?
I don't remember.
Okay.
And so the opportunity for me to move up to overnight board operator happened about November of 93.
Full time?
Full time. So two,
oh.
3 months into it,
oh, man.
I got the full time board operating job.
How was that?
It was great. It was fun.
Was it?
It's your first full-time job in your major. Like, I get it. You're not seeing anyone, but, man, you have to make the best of it. I had a blast, man. It's fun.
It's probably better than my first full-time job.
Which was?
Midday DJ at Hit 106.5 KXGM, Munster, Gainesville.
Heck yeah. Spinning the hits, huh?
Hottest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and today.
All right.
And I did sports. I did play-by-play, and I also had to cover the school board meetings and the county tax assessor collector
Man,
meetings.
You did everything.
I did sales, too.
Jack of all trades.
I did not do overnights because we had a computer for that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And it was...
Did you
I'm
ever...
I'm going to sound old because it was right when the internet started. So you could
I remember those days.
You could spend the well, it took like 10 minutes for the picture to clearly go on the computer screen when it first started. So you can just waste a lot of time while waiting for things to download.
I think the first radio outfit that I worked for where we use the internet was here. Because I had it was at the
station, Cumulus Media
Station in Gainesville.
Okay.
we didn't have the internet there. Matter of fact, we did have a daily newsletter that the morning guy would send out. You know how he sent it out?
Facts?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Hey, we had like six ads down the sides, three on each side. Made money off that. The owner bought a fax machine that could store like 200 or 300 numbers in it. And that's what we did. We got all these businesses in town that we would fax it to, and it would sit there. You'd run it once and it would just dial them one after another. It'd take an hour and a half for it to go out. And then I worked at the great USA Radio Network, and I don't believe we had the internet there either. And when I first worked at the Ticket over on Mockingbird, we had one computer in the bullpen that was a 28.8 modem dial-up. That was the only internet that we had. So I didn't even use it there until we moved over to part of the Susquehanna Nation over there on Maple and Oakland.
Oh, you guys are welcome.
Thank you. You brought the internet. You brought us the internet.
We introduced something to you. That's great.
Could you have ever imagined in 1993, 32 years.
No, I was just happy to get a job in the field, because I remember a buddy of mine, we went out job hunting, and we just walked around downtown, walking into businesses, handing our resumes. He even thought about, okay, I'm going to the fire department to see if I could do it. I was like, okay, I don't know if that's wow. My alley or whatever. We can try other places. We just spent the time trying to see what we were going to get. And my uncle, who was in insurance, and that was the fallback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I can work there. He can help me out. And I did actually interview in a couple of different cities for insurance. It was Belton and Longview.
I'd rather work radio in those towns than insurance, I think.
And then, so he set me up as a graduation present with Bob Ray Sanders, who had a show at KLIF.
Uh-huh, yeah. And wrote for the Times Herald,
yep,
didn't he?
Yep. The only time, or the first time I had ever heard of that station, is when he mentioned it to me that he worked there.
Wow.
I didn't know anything about KLIF.
Man, you weren't listening to Norm Hitchkiss back then?
I was not.
I sure was.
I was just listening to urban radio, man. Whatever, K104, 103, 100.3 Jams.
Yeah.
107.5. That's all I listened to. That's all I thought radio was just urban radio. That's all we listened to. So I had lunch with him, spent about an hour and a half talking to him, and he took me to Chili's and bought my food. It was great. It's the best time I had so far as an adult. This is great. And then about
free lunch at Chili's, man.
About a week and a half, he called me and said, "Hey, man, I think there's a job open. Why don't you come apply for it?" And that's how it happened. How the magic happened.
And you're also kind of a rarity. Not only 32 years in, you're three stations in.
Three stations in, yep.
Because you were Bone Brother Donovan.
Yep.
After
10 years at KLIF.
Kind of implode almost or something. And is that why you moved down? Or
it didn't implode.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
there was a lot of changes.
Yeah, right.
Was it the same time that Norm came down to the Ticket? That you went to the Bone?
No.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. I still stayed up at KLIF for a few years after that. And then was kind of nudged to say, you may want to think about this position at the Bone, because Bossman Scott came up and talked to me and asked me, had I thought about it? I was like, I don't even know what the Bone is, man. So, no, I haven't. And he said, think about it and let me know. And then
Little did you know it was going to lead to a early morning phone call about the fire at the Great White Show.
Yeah, I don't know.
You need me to come in?
Right. It was really somber, and I understand it was a tragedy, but he called me pretty early in the morning. I didn't know what to do. Do I need to come in early for this? No, it was Dimebag Darrell. It's when he died.
I thought it was the Great White Fire.
No. It was Dimebag Darrell.
It was?
When he passed. Okay. I got the call saying that he was no longer with us.
Well, that's a big day.
Oh, it's a big day, but I guess it just didn't resonate. I didn't know.
It did with me.
It troubled me greatly.
And it did with Spicoli.
Yeah.
Like, it was huge. We spent the whole next day on the morning show talking about Dimebag Darrell. But I got the call like at 2-something in the morning.
That's terrible, but what do you want me to do?
Yeah, do you need me to come into work early?
Yeah,
and he's like, no, I'm just calling to let you know. I said, okay.
Good night.
Yeah, I hope the phone is. Man, so, I can't fall back asleep.
So how did it go that you made the transition from the bone to the ticket? Because was it when the bone was went through another metamorphosis?
Oh, that's when Susquehanna and Cumulus made their deal.
Oh, okay.
That's when I came over to the ticket. That was May of 2006.
Okay.
2006, and pretty much everyone was let go at the bone, and I thought that was going to be my fate also. Uh-huh. And I will never forget that day when it happened. It was a Friday. As soon as the microphones went off on our morning show, the acting PD, because Scott wasn't there anymore.
Right.
Acting PD Jeff Kay walked in, told Humble Billy Hayes, boss needs to talk to you. And Humble's like, okay. And because everyone knew
everybody
it, and everyone expected
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And so as Humble Billy Hayes walked out the door, Jeff Kay and I were kind of sitting there together. Just I looked at him and I was like, boss needs to speak to me? Right. And he was like, no. I went, okay. So you go through the whole day like you don't know what the heck is going on. And they had an all-staff meeting later on that afternoon.
I came back up for that.
I went home thinking, I have no clue what's going on. And when I got back, I don't know if you remember Lon Basin.
Sure.
He called me into his office.
I hear from Lon on LinkedIn all the time.
I've seen him a couple of times out, and he was a really good dude. He called me into his office, and I was like, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, no, we're just waiting for the meeting to start. You have anything to tell me? He's like, no, you'll find out soon enough. And I'm thinking, okay. So we just kind of sat there and looked at each other and then had the all-staff meeting that you attended. Mm-hmm. They went down the list of everyone who was let go.
Yeah.
And
sucked.
Still didn't have any really direction about what the heck was going to happen with me until I got with the big man, Dan, and he said, yeah, we're going to try you out on the ticket. And I went, oh, okay.
Because Lon was on that list, right?
No, he survived it, I believe. I think he did. Well, why did he have me in his office then?
I don't know.
The big man should have talked to him.
Yeah, because this is back in the day when we had four stations and two GMs.
Yeah. Yeah. So
different day.
it's been a wild ride. It's been a couple of times that I thought that I was going to get out of this business because I didn't know if there was a huge future in it. I didn't know it was going to happen anytime soon.
You saw what I did. So I left 11 years ago, and now I'm in real estate. So
right, I was on my way to go sign and become a teacher. Whoa. Took the test, passed everything. They called me up at the station when I was working in the continuity department. Say, hey, everything looks good. Come down here and sign it, and you'll be a teacher. And I was going on my lunch break to make the deal. And then I walked by John Shambi's office. He was in there.
He was the PD at the time?
He was the PD at KLIF. Walked by. I was about to go to my car. I stopped, reversed course, sat in his office and told him what I was about to do. And he said, hold on.
Wow.
Walked out. He came back. I said, man, we don't need you to leave. If I pay you this, will you stay?
Bump you up to $8 an hour?
Yeah, and I said, heck, $8? This is great. Man, I can get cheese on this hamburger I buy. This is wonderful. And decided to stay, and I'm so glad I did, man. This has been the dream job.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
32 years.
32 years tomorrow in this dumb business, and I have, I don't know how many to go. But it's looking 32.
I bet you can get to 33.
Now.
I bet you can get to 33.
You think so? Yeah. Maybe so.
34, I don't know. But 33, I think you got it.
34, I don't know about that either. Because right when Norm retired the same day during a break, he said, just think, Donovan, in about 25 years, you'll be doing the same thing. I went, 25 years? Woo-hoo. Good Lord.
No way I'm working as long as Norm did.
No way. But we'll celebrate. Raise one up for me tomorrow
if you
think about it. And celebrate 32 years here in this building. Not this building, but with this company in radio. It is 12:50.
Probably wish it was a different building.